joining us here in Sonic's Booster Juice Listener Lounge, the guys from Colorado.
Good morning.
I got to say, still crazy respect for you guys from when you played Sonic Boom. And I won't say you took a shot at CeeLo, but you kind of pointed out that it's like, dude, you're not here.
Right.
We were talking about that last night. Yeah.
Oh, was I talking about that? I was in bed already.
I know. We were just chatting memories of Edmonton because we got into town yesterday. And that's one of my favorite ones. I mean, we don't know CeeLo. I've heard he's actually kind of an awesome, smart dude. But
he looks like he'd be a fun hang. He's
yeah,
got
exactly.
That robust... happy charm about him.
And I'm sure everybody that was at that festival was looking forward to seeing him, and as were we. So when we found out he wasn't playing, we figured out how to play the song, the F-U song, with the big F-word chorus.
Yeah, we only figured it out about 10 minutes before going on, yeah. Too, so it was pretty scrappy.
So we did a scrappy version of it.
It was fun, it was lighthearted, but it still had like that just sort of like hair of like rock and roll rebellion that you don't really see these days anymore.
Well, thank you.
Rock and Roll Rebellion's all about hair.
Now, touring with a number of experienced bands, geez, Sum 41, Billy Talent, you're basically touring with some of the biggest Canadian rock bands going right now. Are you getting any advice from these guys? You know, are you picking up any tricks? You're like, oh, I'm totally going to do that next time we're on stage.
Every day.
Yeah.
And not just on stage, like off stage, you know, but they set up one thing that's really cool about Billy Talent is that every arena that we show up in, they set up a jam room. And it's like a room about this size. And they set up full PA, full amps, everything, all ready to go. And they rehearse before they play. And one thing that's really cool is they let all the other bands use it whenever they want. As long as they're not in there, you can just walk in, pick up Ian's guitar, start shredding on it. And it's really, really fun.
Yeah. And it inspires you to stay sharp as a band because they're working at it constantly.
I hate to be a noob, but I mean... Are you not sort of afforded that opportunity on most tours, like as a young band?
Oh, no, never. I
not
mean,
at all.
That jam room that we're rehearsing in is bigger than a lot of the clubs we play.
Yeah.
Like it's often about the size of Wonder Bar, you know, here. That our last show in Edmonton was at
Wonder Bar.
Wonder Bar. And, you know, that's not a big place. And this jam room, a couple of them have been bigger than Wonder Bar.
And it's definitely nicer than our jam room at home.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen some of the twit pics and stuff going around from the tour, you know, from the guys from Sum 41 and Billy Talent and stuff. Is there any kind of like behind the scenes craziness, any sort of backstage pranks going on?
That might happen, but we'll see.
Everybody's still getting to know each other, and I think once it reaches that level of comfortability where you can have a laugh at each other's expense, then we'll have more stories.
Now, you guys, of course, were playing in Calgary earlier this week, and then you made the pilgrimage up to... freezing cold Edmonton during the sort of snowpocalypse, we call it.
Yeah.
It was freaky yesterday.
Where were you guys?
Well, we came really close to the pileup. We were about half an hour behind it. They just closed the highway when we got to they were literally just closing it. So luckily we got off the highway and we weren't stuck in the pileup jam because that would have been terrible. We really lucked out. I heard people were waiting there for... Is there people still there? I don't know.
Would you like kick it at the donut mill in Red Deer for 2 hours?
Or yeah, exactly. I don't know.
I probably would have if we got stuck. But
yeah, just go for a walk.
Yeah,
you turn around and go back. Like what?
I don't know what people do. I mean, I've never been in a pileup and knock on wood.
Man.
I hope it doesn't happen. Well, I picked a weird piece of wood to knock on.
Well, the new album is called White Paint. Did you call it that because you wanted the album to look bigger?
Interesting. Right.
90s decorating reference,
yeah,
right?
Yes, that's definitely.
Like explain to us the white paint metaphor, because it is kind of an interesting one.
Well, it's just basically, it's been a long time since we put out the last record, and we were going to go with self-titled. We were going to go with, because after Record in a Bag, everyone was like, what's the next one going to be? Record in a box, record in a jar, or whatever. And we were like, oh, stop it. But, you know, and so we're like, no gimmicks on this one. Like, it's got to be just self-titled. That's it. And then kind of thought of this idea. Like, it's been so long, and it's kind of a fun idea to paint all the records white. And I liked what it represents. That, like, you can kind of have a fresh start, but you're always still what's underneath. And that's always there. You can scratch away. But you can, no matter what you do, you can always try and do better. And so.
What is the one element from your past that... you would paint over if you could?
Oh, there's way too many.
Not enough paint in the world for that.
Yeah, there is. But I mean, I guess that's part of life, right? Learning from your mistakes. And
Well, there actually is like white paint on the records too. Like you can full on scratch it off.
We did. We painted like 12,000 records. We threw a big party.
Yeah, we rented a big space and invited all of our friends, enticed them with beer and poutine, and fueled them up for a night of painting, during which we got about 5,000 or 6,000 done in a night.
And we only had the warehouse rented for a weekend, so we kind of screwed up. We should have had the party after we painted about 5,000, you know, and then throw a party and paint the rest, but we totally did it backwards. So we had to go in with the worst hangovers of our lives and paint another 5,000 records. And all our friends didn't come to that, so it was just like 20 of us. It took us like, you know, another 20.
Less, 10 maybe.
10 of us, yeah.
Just, thankfully, it's not like finesse painting.
Right, it's mindless. But yeah, underneath it is each record. The actual cover is it's a picture of a piece of stained glass window that my grandfather did, and it's a real window in Toronto that's really beautiful. And I think it's cool to paint over that, and then but you can scratch off the paint and you see underneath, and it's like the history.
Well, it's kind of an interesting and personal thing to share. Is that difficult to kind of bring some of that stuff into your art?
No, I think it's important to celebrate what has come before us. The thing about my grandfather, I mean, he was my grandfather, and he was really close to me, and he passed away when we were making the record. So I wanted to, talk about – he had a really, really interesting life, and I wanted to talk about some things in it. But he was also kind of a grandfather to all of the band too. I mean, we're a really close family, and I just remember one of the things that he left in his will for all of us was he gave all the band members a bunch of yellow socks because he only wore yellow socks. So we just got this big like drawer of yellow socks for everyone in the band.
Very cool. Well, the white paint thing isn't the only sort of unique thing about it's just one of the many unique things about the album White Paint. One of them, if you got one of the pre-order package, you get a custom song.
Right. Totally.
There's like 200 of those. You wrote 200 songs.
There's a lot. Well, we're still writing them.
Oh, you're still writing them.
Yeah.
So I was actually just about to go on Twitter today and put out some apologies to our fans because people are saying, okay, where's my custom song? And we started doing them. And, you know, writing a song that's really crappy takes no effort. But writing a song that's just like the standard that we have for these, which is like, okay, that takes a bit of effort and time, and you know we have a lot of things that we're working on. We're on tour, and it's hard to get them all done, and especially recorded to some degree of
listenability.
Exactly. So we're starting to really dig into it now, and it's taken a while, and it's probably going to take a lot longer. But everyone will get their song, and I really hope some of them are actually going to be good because they're going to be. We're actually hoping that we can make a release that's like the greatest hits, but like our favorite 12 of the custom songs.
A 37 CD set.
Yeah, right.
Totally.
You can get the deluxe package for.
Yeah.
I'll come to that party.
Right.
I'll bring my paintbrush. Yeah. Do you expect any of those songs to make it on your next album? Like, I mean, that's so creatively ambitious. Like that is such a cool, cool idea.
You never know.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, well, as I was saying, like, I think before our next, like, big, you know, it's going to be a while before we put out another full-on release. So what we've always tended to do in the past is we release things anyway, just kind of soft releases with, like we did Margaritaville 2, The Reckoning, just on vinyl. And it was, you know, B-sides and kind of a lot of that more throwaway material that we still liked. And so that I could see that happening between now and then with these songs for sure. Yeah.
Now, I'm curious, too, what's the next single from White Paint? What's the next song?
It's the one So It Goes. It's off the album. It's one of the one that's most directly about my grandfather, actually. It's about his experience in World War II. He was a member of the Dutch resistance. He's a Dutch guy, and his city was occupied by the Germans, and he fought back. And he ended up getting put in jail for quite a long time. I mean, the story actually goes further than that. They caught him, and they were supposed to kill him. And the guy who was running that prison, he spoke with my grandfather, and my grandfather said to him, he said, "Listen, you can't execute me. What would you do if your country is occupied by another country?" And the jail warden, he said, "You know what? I would do the same thing that you did. I would have fought back." And my grandfather says, "Right, you can't execute me." And he's like, "Okay, you're right." And so he put him in solitary confinement for 2 years. But after the war, this warden, he was on trial in Nuremberg. And my grandfather, he went to testify on behalf of this warden. He said, this guy spared my life. And he didn't have to do that. He actually was supposed to kill me. And he was a humane person. He was a guy caught in a bad situation, like a lot of people in the war were. And he ended up saving that guy's life back. So pretty cool story of forgiveness.
Yeah, no kidding. One last question. I watched a video for Pick Me Up. It's really great. You guys get that key and like you go into the thing. Is that like a Burning Man made of marijuana? What is that? When I saw that, I was just like, I'm not sure what that is.
Metaphorically, that's maybe. It's actually an animation. Unfortunately, that thing did not exist in real life.
Did not really exist, yeah.
Because the kind of time that we were having filming that video, if that thing existed in real life, we probably would still be in mental institutions.
Still be painting CDs.
Yeah, somewhere.
Well, very cool. Holler at it. You guys are taking the stage at 7:45 tonight. Continued success. Thank you so much for coming.
Anytime.
Thanks, man.
Catch this interview and other off-air highlights in this week's Lane Mitchell Show podcast. Free on iTunes and at sonic1029.com.